We begin the Kantav Masech the Sanhedrin Dav Tzadi Beis. We begin on the bottom of Tzadi Gav and Beis, three lines up at the bottom of the Amid. But the Gemara continues with a discussion related to the discussion which will relate back at the end of this discussion to this topic that we're discussing of Olam Haba, of Tchis HaMesim, of the future. So Amar Rav Yehuda Merabi says, Kol HaManeh HaLocha MePiv Talmud. If someone holds back from teaching a halacha to a student, Kilu Gezoli Menachlas HaBoisim, it's like he stole that student's inheritance from his fathers. Shlema, because like the Pasuk says in Devarim, Tairat Siv Alona Moshe, Moshe Benu commanded to us the Torah, May Rasha Kilis Yaakov, it's an inheritance, the assembly of the Jewish people, May Rasha Hilachol Yisrael, it's inheritance for the whole Jewish people, Mishashis Mebereshis, from the 6 days of creation. And we see that from the beginning of the Torah, where it says Bereshis Bara. In the beginning, Hashem created the world, which means because of the Torah, which is called Reishis, and because of the Jewish people that are also called Reishis Tuvu Asa, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, where they will ultimately inherit the world. And that's why Hashem created the world, and that's a reference to the Torah and the Jewish people that are all called Reishis, that it's inheritance, and therefore if someone doesn't teach us, like he's stealing the inheritance of that student. Moreover, Amr of Chana Barbizna, Amr of Shimon Chassidus, says, Kol HaManeh HaLocha MePi Talmud, whoever holds back from teaching a teaching to a student, even the fetuses in the womb of their mother curse that person. Shnemak, it says a pasuk in Mishle, it says Menea Bar, which literally means to say if someone holds back the produce, but it refers to Tyra, because Tyra is the produce, and also comes from the word of purity. As a continue to have Tzadi Bezim and Aleph, so if someone holds back teaching Tyra to someone else, Yikvu La'im will curse him. What does that mean? And lo'im, which could be translated as nations, but also could be referring to fetuses. Somebody says the pasuk in Bereishis, when Rivka didn't know what she was carrying and she went to get a prophecy, she was told that there's two nations in your womb and there's two lo'umim that will come out from your me'ayim, from your insides, ula'im, and to the li'ayim, mila'ayim, from the other mila'ayim yamats, which was Yaakov and Esav, we see that referring to these two fetuses, the term they were given was la'ayim, that one will be stronger than the other one, but we see that la'ayim is referring to fetuses, and the inkavu, when it says that the la'ayim, the fetuses, will be yakvu, for someone that holds back teaching Torah to someone else, the inkavu elaklala, that they will do kava means to say that they curse. Shlomo says the pasuk in Midbar that Bilam said, "Ma'akav l'kava kel. What can I do? God doesn't want to curse the Jewish people. Everything I'm going to try is not going to have any utility." Ve'im bar el Torah. When it says someone holds back from bar, it's referring to Torah. So someone who is meinei bar holds back from teaching Torah, yikvu la'im, the fetuses will curse him. Shlomo, how do we know that bar refers to Torah? Like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, it says nashku var, nashku from the term of neshek, of weaponry, that someone should be fortified bar with purity, which refers to Torah. Penyanaf, maybe that there will be the anger of God on him, but we see that bar refers to Torah, and that's the source for the teaching of that even the fetuses in the womb curse that person who doesn't teach Torah to someone that is supposed to be taught that. Ula bar Yishmol, I mean, he says, Menak v'noise kikvara. They actually pierce holes through that person like a sieve, because Ksiv Halchat says over here in this pasuk, if he holds back from teaching Torah, yikvu la'im, that they'll make yikvuhu. Uksiv Hasim, it says, a pasuk in Malachim Beis, says, v'yikav chor bedalse, that he made a hole in his door. So we see that term yikvu means to make holes. V'amar Abayin, Abayi says, ki uchlu dekatsri, that this person will get so many holes in him, like the launderer's tool that has full of holes where they use it to water the garments, where it has so many holes. That's how the punishment will happen to someone that doesn't teach Torah to the student. Now, says the Gemara, V'im lamde maschar, and if he does teach the halacha to that Talmud, what's his reward? Amarav, Amarav Sheshes, he's zeich lebrachas k'yosef, he merits to the blessings like Yosef. Shnemek, it says that at the end of that pasuk, it says, Uvuracha l'reish mashber, and the blessing is the head of the mashber. V'im mashber el Yosef, and the provider refers to Yosef. Shnemek, it says, the pasuk in Bereish, it says, V'yosef hu hashal al aretz, Yosef, when he was a viceroy in Egypt, he was a ruler on the land. Hu hamash b'lecholam aretz, he was the provider for all the people of the land. So that's what the flip side of the pasuk in Mishlei is saying over there, that if he does teach, he merits all the brachas like Yosef. Now, one last thing, which is what brings it back to the topic of why it's introduced over here. Amar Rav Sheshes, it says, kol malamed Torah b'olam hazeh, whoever teaches Torah in this world, zoichu malamed l'olam haba, he merits and he teaches it in the world to come. Shnemek, it says in that pasuk, before this pasuk that we're quoting, it says, Umarva, someone that satiates and saturates his student with Dvar Halacha, Gam Hu Yair, he will also teach when he will teach in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. Or the word actually Umarve comes from the term of Meira. If he teaches now, he will teach then in the future. Which that brings us back to the topic from the previous Dafim regarding the future. One of the earlier stages is Tchis HaMesim. Amar Rava. Rava says, Minayin l'tchis HaMesim HaTerafim. Where do we know a biblical source for the revival of the dead in the future? Shnemak says, the Pasuk in Devarim says, Yechi Ruven Val Yomas. That the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu was given to all the Shvatim, so to Shevet Ruven, he says that Ruven should live and not die. Live and not die. Yechi Ruven Val Yomas. That Ruven should live in this world. Val Yomas L'Yom HaBan. He won't die in the world to come. Ravina Amar Mahachi brings a different source, a Pasuk in Daniel. Says, admas of Yakitu, and that many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will rise up. These for the world of the living. And these for embarrassment, for everlasting Gehenim, where that's referring to the concept of that they will be Tchis HaMesim, the dead will rise once again. Rav Ashi Amar Mahachi brings from a pasuk later on that says, Va'ato leich lekeitz, you go to the end, v'tenuach and rest. And you'll get up for your portion where he's alluding to that he will die and then he'll get up at a later point in time, leketz hayomin, to the end where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately bring back the yomin, his right hand, because as the pasuk says in Eicha, heshev ocher yaminai, now in the gullus he's put his right hand behind his back, ultimately the ketz, that at the end he'll bring his right hand back, which is the revelation of his glory. A related discussion regarding the idea that we mentioned before, regarding who merits to do this now, like in teaching Torah, he'll merit in the world to come. So Amar Belazer, and then the Gemara brings many different teachings from Belazer related, called Parna Shemaniges Atzibur Benachas. Any leader that leads the public with calmness in this world, Zeichom and Higim Loim Amboh, he'll merit and he'll lead them in the world to come. Shnemak, it says the Pasuk in Yeshayah, it says, Kimerachamam, because he who has mercy over them in this world, Inahagim will lead them into the world to come. And on the springs of water he will lead them. Another teaching from Amar Belazer, where all the rest are regarding the understanding that a person has to have. Great is understanding. Shenitna ben shtei oisis, where it's placed between two of Hashem's names. Or actually, oisis is not from the word letters, but actually from signs. Where the signs of Hashem's names, as the Gemara says in Chagiga, Tzavakais, Hashem's name, is that it's an ice in his tzva, it's a sign in his armies, and so therefore it's called the signs, which are wondrous things, which are alluded to in the names given to Hashem. But either way, it's referring to that the word understanding is placed between two of Hashem's names. Shanem, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, ki kel dayes Hashem, because a God of understanding is Hashem. You see, the word dayes is between the word kel and Hashem. So to Amar Belazer, he says gadol mikdash. How great is the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, where it's very chashuv, shenitin b'shtei oisis, where it's also placed between two of Hashem's names. Shemek, it says the pasuk in Shemais, by the Oz Yasher, pa'alta Hashem Mikdash, you Hashem have made the temple, Hashem, kainu yudecha, your hands, it's the handiwork of your hands. So you see that the word Mikdash is between Hashem and Hashem. Now, maskevela Rav Adikarchina, but Rav Adikarchina asked on these teachings, where it seems like it's a great thing, whatever it is that's placed between two of Hashem's names, like we find by the Beis HaMikdash, or regarding understanding. El me'ata, g'dayl n'kamas, are you going to say that how great is revenge? Shenitna ben shtei oisis, where it's also placed between two of Hashem's names. The Chlevik Sesev, like it says the Pasuk in Tillim, says, Kel n'kamas Hashem, a God of vengeance is Hashem. Kel n'kamas Zephia, a God of revenge, he will come forth. So you see that the word n'kamas is between Kel and Hashem. That also means a great thing. Amalei, so he said to him, L'milse hachinami, for its purpose, meaning in context, then yes, Nukama is a great thing. Like Ula said, Dama Ula, he says, what are these two appearances of Hashem? Where it says, Kel Nukama Hashem, and says, Kel Nukama Sefia. Where although it only says the word Haifa once, but it's going back on these two Nukamas as if it says the word Haifa twice. So what are these two appearances? Achas Lamidas Taiva. One is for the measurement of the good for the Jewish people, which is because Hashem takes away his divine presence for the nations and the worlds and he comes to the Jewish people. That's called a revenge because it's doing the kindness, or it's some type of a retribution of goodness where the Jewish people merit the divine presence because they said, Nasa v'nishma, which the word nekama could also mean tigmoil, which is some type of a payment. V'achas lamidas paranis, and one is a measurement of punishment for the idol worshippers, where he punished them at the day of judgment, as the Gemara says in the Avodah of the Alman Aleph, where Hashem takes revenge and that of anger to the idol worshippers, where he himself takes punishment on them, which is haifa. Again, his divine presence comes out to the Jewish people and also comes to take judgment of the idol worshippers. So we see that, yeah, nekama is a good thing in context, and therefore that's why it's placed between the two names of Hashem. Another similar related teaching, Vamer Belazar, also from Belazar, Kal Adam Sheesh Baideya, any person that has understanding, Ki'ilu Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'yomav, it's as if the temple was built in his days. How do we see that? Shezen Nitin Bin Shnei Isis, because Deya, as we mentioned before, understanding is placed between two of Hashem's names. Vezen Nitin Bin Shnei Isis, and so to the Beis HaMikdash, the word Mikdash is also placed between two of Hashem's names, where it's the same concept about understanding, which is what the purpose of the temple is, and about getting understanding, about the divine presence resting on the person and being aware of the totality of God in this world. Vamer Belazar, he continues, says, Kalod Meshesh Bideya, any person that has understanding, Lasaif Mesasher, ultimately he'll become wealthy. Shemalik says the pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Uvidas, meaning because of understanding, Chadar Miyamolu, the rooms will be filled, Kol Hayin Yakar Venom, every precious and sweet of wealth. Vamer Belazar, moreover, Belazar says, Kalod Meshesh Bideya, any person that does not have understanding, Asa L'Rachim Lav, one is not allowed to have, it's forbidden to have mercy on that person. Shnemek says the pasuk in Yeshaya says ki loy ambinois, since it was not a people of understanding, al kein lo yerchamen oisehu, therefore his maker did not have mercy on him, v'yotzer lo yichunenu, and his creator does not grace him. It's forbidden to have mercy on someone that does not have understanding. So to Vamer Belazar, he says more of a call, listen pitoi lemi sheim b'idei, whoever gives his bread to someone that does not have understanding, yisurin bo in love, afflictions come in that person. Shnemek says the pasuk in Nevadia says lachmacha. In other words, because of your bread that you gave to someone that does not have understanding, yisimu mazur tachtecha, they're going to place mazur beneath you, because ain't tuvinu by that person that you gave to doesn't have understanding. Now, ve'ein mazur el yisur, and this that says that he'll get forgiving to the wrong person that does not have understanding, he'll get mazur. Mazur refers to afflictions. Shnamak says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, ve'yara Ephraim eschalya, that Ephraim saw his illness, ve'yehuda es mizuri, and Yehuda saw his affliction. Therefore, that's the punishment for someone that has mercy or gives his bread to a person that does not have understanding. V'amar b'lazam, Rabbi says, Kol adam she'im b'idei, any person that does not have understanding, l'seif gaila, ultimately we go into exile. Shemek says, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, l'chein gola ami, therefore my people have gone to exile, mibli das, because of lack of understanding. Continuing with teachings from V'amar b'lazam, he says, Kol b'ayya she'in dibri teri nishmom b'v'layla, any house where the words of Torah are not heard in that house at nighttime, a fire consumes it. Shnemek says the pasuk in Iyev, Kol chayshech, every darkness, meaning every night, tamun litzvunav, that's hidden from those who have underneath them concealed the words of Torah. Meaning, if the words of Torah are not heard in that house, techluhu esh leinufach, then a fire which does not have to be blown, which refers to the fires of Gehenna, as the Gemara Bava Basra says that those are fires that don't have to be blown, will consume it. Because Yera Sarid Ba'alai, that is because someone that is it's bad in his eyes, where there is a Sarid in his tent and still is not learning Torah, so therefore it's going to be consumed. Because Ein Sarid El Tamachach, when said that there's a remnant in the tent, it refers to a Talmudic scholar. Shnamak says the Pasuk in Yael, it says, Uvisridim, and the remnants, Asher Hashem Kari, that Hashem calls to them, which refers to the Talmud Chachamim. So that's where the punishment is. If there's not going to be Talmud Chacham learning Torah in the house at nighttime, then the house is consumed with fire. Another teaching from Amar Belazar says, "Kol she'einim mahane tamid chacham in the chasa, whoever does not benefit to Talmudic scholars from his assets, ain't a roi simin bracha loyim, does not see a sign of blessing forever." Shemek says the pasuk in Iyev, it says, "Ain't sarid la'achlay," that, as we said before, as the Gemara is going to say, that it refers to Talmud Chacham. If there's no food to the sarid, therefore he's not going to find blessings and goodness from his items, from all the good that he has. Now, Ein Sarid El Tamid Chacham, as we said, that Sarid refers to Tamid Chacham, Mishnah like says a pasuk, Ubisridim Asher Hashem Kari, to the Sridim, to the Tamid Chachamim, that Hashem calls out. Another teaching for Amar B'Lazar says, Kol She'einim Mishayir Pas Al Shachan, whoever does not leave over bread on his table, Ein Aroi Simen Baruch Al Olam, will not see a sign of blessing forever. Mishnah like says a pasuk, Ein Sarid La'achloi, that there's no remnant, there's no leftover for his food. Here it means literally, Al-Kain lo-Yachol Tuba, therefore his goodness will not prosper because he has to leave over something at the end of the meal, some bread, as the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet, Ocha v'Hoysu, you should eat and leave over. Now that asked the Gemara, but V'Amr B'Laza, but B'Laza is quoted as saying, Kol HaMashai P'Sis HaMashulchan, whoever does leave over a piece of bread on his table, Ki lo Eved Avay Dezar, it's like he served an idol. Shalom, it says the Pasuk in Yeshai, it says, Ha'orichim L'Gad Shulchan, that they who prepare to their table to God, meaning that what they used to do is that they would leave over a prepared table with food and drink for that Avay Dezar, which was called God, V'Hamamalim Lamni Mimsach, and that they fill up these cups of spiced and incensed or drink to be poured for the Avodah Zarah, which is called mani, we see that that's what it's considered when someone puts the bread there as if he's serving Avodah Zarah. So is leaving over bread good or bad? So it's Gemara Likash, that's not difficult. Ha, this that he said that it's forbidden is the Ikush Lema Ba'adeh, is where he brings, after he eats, he brings a whole loaf of bread and he puts it on the table with the leftover bread that he left over, where that looks like he's bringing it specially for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, that's forbidden. Ha, Deleka Shlema Bahadei, where he said that it's a good thing and only then do you see Siman Bracha, as if you didn't bring a whole loaf, you just left leftover pieces which are there for the poor people, then that's a Siman Bracha. Vamar Balaz, another teaching from Balaz, he says, Kalamachla Bidibura, whoever changes his word so that it shouldn't be recognized what he's trying to say, that he's trying to switch around and to not be caught. Kilo over the Vaidazar, it's like he served the Vaidazar. Why? Ksivach, it says over here in Bereshis, when Yaakov Vinu was told by his mother Rivka to go ahead and steal the brachas from Esav, from his father Yitzchak, he said, V'yisiv v'einav kimisateh, that I'm going to be in his eyes like a deceiver, where because his words are deceptive. Uksiv, because he was saying, Ani, he said, I'm Esav, Bachar, he was saying words that could be translated, but it's deceptive. Uksivach, it says a pasuk in Yirmiya, Hevel Hema, that their emptiness, maaseh tatum, actions of deception, which over there refers to Avodah Zarah. So we see that someone that is deceptive, that his words are, he changes his words, that he shouldn't be caught, that it's almost like he's serves Avodah Zarah. Vamer Balaz, another teacher from Balaz, he says, Kol mastakel be'erva, whoever looks at the nakedness of a forbidden woman, kashtei nin eris, which literally means to say that his bow gets emptied out. What it means to say is that the vigor, the strength of his member, of his male member, gets emptied out, meaning that he won't be able to father children. Shemak, it says, the pasuk in Chavakuk, it says, area, which is if you look literally at the nakedness of at a woman that's forbidden to that person to look at. So that's teir kashtecha. That empties out your bow, which that's referring to the seed, which shoots out like a bow, that the person will not have the ability to father children. Or another interpretation, what it means to say, it's referred, when it says mistakel, it doesn't mean looking with the physical eyes, it means thinking about the erva of a married woman. Then kashtei, which means the might of his hand, will be nin eris, meaning it will continuously diminish. Similar like it says, if someone finds a garment, he should shake it out every 30 days. It means to say it shakes out, it gets weaker and weaker because of his thinking or looking at another woman, which is it's not his own wife. Another teaching, Vamer Belazi says, La'ilam have a kavel v'kayim. A person should always be humble and live. The word kavel is like a term of darkness. I mean, you make yourself dark and lowly, and then you'll survive. Amar Bezeri says, we also learned like this in Mishnah Masechtas Nagayim that says, bias awful, a dark house. In poiskan lechaloynis liris nega. We don't open up windows to have the sunlight come in so that we could see the nega of Taras that there is there in the house, which would then make a tamei. Because as the pasuk says, ken nega nirali baboyis. The person says, like a nega I saw in my house, which sounds like that it could be seen by itself without doing any other action. Moreover, it says, kenega nirali, which is to me, and not lo'eri, not to the light that I'm bringing in. So it comes out that the darkness of the house is actually what saves the house. Because as long as the kohen can't see it, so it does not have the tumas neglem, and therefore they don't have to destroy the house. So shema mino, what we see from there is if someone makes himself lowly and he's out of sight, out of mind, then that humility allows him to survive. Amr Tavi Amr Yesha says, Maidach Siv, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Mishle? It says, Sha'il, the grave, V'Oitzer Racham, and the narrowing of the womb, Eretz Loisav Amayim, and land that's not satiated with water. In other words, the Pasuk is referring to three things that are never satiated. The grave is never satiated from dead people. the narrowness of the uterus is narrow and it's not satiated from cohabitation. And the land is not satiated with water, meaning no matter how much keeps on coming, it keeps on taking. Now the Gemara asks, "V'chima'in and shoyl etzel rachem? What does the grave have to do with the womb? Why are they near each other?" Now, Lam L'cha rather is coming to tell you, and this is why we're teaching this teaching, because it's going back to the idea of Tchis HaMesim, that ma'rechem ma'achnes, just like the womb takes in the seed from the man, u'maitzi, and it produces out what comes out from the same place as a child, av sho'el ma'achnes ha'maitzi, so to the grave, it takes in people, and it also brings out by Tchis HaMesim. Now, continues the Gemara, v'alei dvarim kal v'chaymer, u'ma'rechem she'machnesim b'chashoy, so if, regarding the uterus, that what you bring in is in silence. Maitzin memena b'kolikos, when it comes out with a lot of wailing, a lot of screaming from the child. So she'oil she'machnisim b'kolikos, so the grave where when we put the person in is with great sound, with great crying when they bury a dead person. In a din, isn't it a kal v'chaymer she'maitzin memena b'kolikos, that it'll come out with great sound, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, yitaka b'shefer gadol, that they're going to blow with the great shefer, and the dead are going to rise. Mekan Tshuva, this is a response, La'im, to those who want to say, Ein Tchis HaMesim, that I tell you that there's no biblical source for Tchis HaMesim, when we see clearly this idea of having Sha'ol Nerachim alluding to this point. Tan Belio, we taught in the Brisa of Eliyahu, that Tzadikim, Sha'asra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lachyos, and the righteous, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately bring them back to life in the days of when Mashiach comes, so after that they're brought back to life, Ein Chayzin La'afarin, they don't go back to a state of dust. In other words, between, as we'll shortly see, Yemais Mashiach and the world to come, Olam Haba, that the world is destroyed, rather their flesh will be maintained until they all come back to life in the future. Like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says V'hoyah Hanisha B'Tzion, that those will be left over in Tzion, V'Nisi B'Yerushalayim, and the remnants in Yerushalayim, Kadosh Yomaloi, holiness will be said to him, Kalakas of L'Chaim Yerushalayim, all those that are written to life in Yerushalayim. Now, Ma Kaddish L'Olam Kaim, we're saying to those people, those tzaddikim that brought back to life, they're going to be called Kaddish, which is Ma Kaddish L'Olam Kaim, just like the Holy One Hashem, it lasts, he's around forever. Avheim L'Olam Kaim, so to them, when they're brought back to life, they'll also survive forever. Now, so continue to Bay is Vim Tamid, if you're going to say, then Eisen Shanim, then those years, Sha'asra Kaddish Baruch Hu L'Chadish Ben Nasilam, that Kaddish Baruch Hu will renew his world, and that there's going to be 1,000 years that the world would be destroyed, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, "V'niska v'Hashem lovada v'yemahu," that on that day, that Hashem Himself will be around. So tzaddikim mahenaisin. So what do the righteous do? Where are they? Since we said they're not going to go back to dust, they're not going to be buried in the ground. Where are they when the world is destroyed for those 1,000 years? So the Gemara, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Aisalem k'nafayim k'nashama. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will make for them wings like eagles. V'shatan up in their mayim, and they're gonna fly over the surface of the water. Shemek says a pasuk in Tehillim, it says, "Al kein lo yinira, therefore we won't be afraid." Mahama aretz, when the world is it's changed. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu changes the world, we're not going to be afraid. But Mayhar, when he rips up the mountains, belev yamim, because we're going to be in the heart of the seas, just flying over the water when the whole world is awash in water and it's going to be renewed. Then they're going to be flying over the water. Now, v'shem etem, if you're going to say yesh lemtzar, they're going to be in pain then. Tamalim, that's the pasuk teaches in Yeshaya. But koyvei Hashem, those who hope in Hashem, yechalifu koyach, they regenerate with strength. They'll have the strength to just fly over without any pain. Yalo eber kanasham, they'll fly with on their wings like eagles. Yerutzu below you go, they'll run and they won't tire and they won't get worn out. Yelchu below yafu, they're going to go and not become tired. Now that has the Gemara, but v'neilif mimesim shehecha Yecheskel. But we should learn out from the dead that Yecheskel had brought back to life, where they then ultimately did die. So too, maybe the righteous that ultimately will be brought back to life, maybe they will go back to the dust. Now, but Yecheskel, when Nebuchadnezzar had exiled him with Yechaniah Melech Yehuda, and Yecheskel was prophesying in Babel, while Yirmiyahu was prophesying in Eretz Yisrael in those 11 years that Tzidkiah was the king. And there was an incident where Yecheskel, it says, he brought back the people back to life. And yet they would die again. So maybe that's what's going to be. How do you know that you're saying that they're never going to die ever again? Maybe they will be brought back to life and then they will die. Says the Gemara, Savula Kamanda Amma Be'emes, this teaching was said according to one who says that in truth, Mashal Haya, that whole incident that's mentioned that he brought them back, those dead bones back to life, was just a parable. It was giving a remez to the Jewish people regarding the exile, like a dead person who comes back to life, so to the Jewish people will come back from their exile. Tanya, like learning Brisa, that's machlekes. And this opinion of this drasha that we said that they're never going to go back to the dust again was going like the one who says that although we do find the incident that they went back, that was just a muscle. But truth, whoever comes back for Tchias Mason and Tzadikim will never go back to the dust again. Like we learned the Brisa that it's a machlekes regarding that incident of Yecheskel. Rabbi Lozaim, he says, Mason Shehechi Yecheskel, the dead that Yecheskel brought back to life, Amdu al Raglayim, V'amru Shira u'Mesu. They stood on their feet, they said praise, they sang a song to Hashem, and they died. Mashiru Amru, what song did they sing? Hashem Memis B'tzedek, Hashem kills with righteousness, U'mechai B'rachman, brings back to life with mercy. He says, Shiruzu Amru, they said this song, which the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that Chana said, Hashem Memis U'mechai, Hashem kills and brings back to life. Marit Sha'ol V'yal, he brings down to the grave and he brings up. He says, Emes, truth, Mashal Hoya. It was a parable. Now, Amalei Rebbe Nechemia Nechemia asked Rebbe Yehuda, what do you mean truth, it was a parable? Im Emes, if it was true, Lama Mashal, why calling it a parable? Vim Mashal was a parable, Lama Emes, why saying it's truth? Rather, it means Be Emes. In truth, Mashal Hoya, it was just a parable. And that's the opinion we're going like by saying that there was never an incident that they came back to life and would then died again because the whole thing was a Mashal, it wasn't a real thing. He says, Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel, the dead that Yecheskel had brought back to life, all the Eretz Yisrael, they went up to Eretz Yisrael, Benasu Nashim, Barlida Banam Abanas, and they married women, and they had sons and daughters. And Amr Behudim Mimseir Al Ragla Ba'am, and he says, Ani Mimnebenem, I am from their grandchildren. Vahalolu Tvilin Chanichli Avi Abimhem, and these are the Tvilin that my grandfather left for me from them, these were their Tvilin. Now, ask the Gemara, Man ninu mesim shechi yecheskel, who are the dead, the bones that he found that he brought them back to life? At least according to the opinions that holds that it was a real incident. Rabbi says, Elu b'nei Ephraim, these are the sons of Ephraim. We're from the Shvatim. Shamanu leketz, where they had counted what's going to be the end of leaving of Egypt. But Toan, they made a mistake. They made an error that they should not have counted the gezerah of Avodim ve'inu oisam, which was the slavery, the servitude of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim that was told to Avraham Avinu, they should have only counted from when Yitzchak was born. Because the Pasuk in Bereshit Tezvav says that Avraham Avinu was told, Ki ger yizracha, because your children will be foreigners in a foreign land. Which, who's Zaracha, that refers to Yitzchak. As the Pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchak ikar lazara. Your children refers to Yitzchak. But they counted from when Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu. As the Bereshit says in Seder Olam, Avraham Avinu at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, regarding that his children are going to go into exile by the Bris Ben Abisarim, he was 70 years old. And from the Ben Abisarim till Yitzchak was born was 30 years, as the Pasuk says, Avram was 100 years old when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So it comes out from when he spoke to him at the Ben Abisarim until they left Egypt was 430 years. Those 30 years from when he spoke to him until Yitzchak was born, the sons of Ephraim made that error. So therefore they wanted to leave Mitzrayim 30 years early. Now how do we know that the Bnei Ephraim tried going out before the time, and therefore they were killed? Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, it says that Bnei Ephraim, the sons of Ephraim, were Shusalach, Uverid Bnei and his son Verid, Besachas Bnei and his son Sachas, Velod Bnei and his son Elod, Besachas Bnei and his son Sachas, Vezevid Bnei and his son Zevid, Veshusalach Bnei and his son Shusalach, VeEzer VeElod and Ezer and Elod, VeHargum Anshei Gas Hanelod them Ba'aretz VeGoyim, and the men of Gas, which were born in the land, they killed them again when they tried coming out, leaving Mitzrayim, and going in and taking over Eretz Yisrael, they were killed. Like it says in the Pasuk, by Yisavel Ephraim Avim, Yom Rab, that their father Ephraim mourned over them many days, but Yivo Echav Nachman and his brothers came to console him. That's one interpretation, that the bones that he brought back to life were the sons of Ephraim. Ushmolam, he says, the dead that Yechezkel brought back to life, Elu b'nei Adam, this refers to the people Shekofer B'tchias HaMesim, who denied that there is such a thing as the revival of the dead. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, V'yoyim re'elan, he said to me, Ben Adam, son of man, Hatzama se'ela, these bones, Kol Beis Yisrael Hema, these are all the house of the Jewish people. Hina oimim, they say, Yav Shuat Meisenu, that our bones are dried up, V'avda Tikfasenu, and our hope is lost, Nigzartulan, that's what was decreed on us. In other words, these bones were a sign for the entirety of the Jewish people that ultimately that they will have Tchias HaMesim, like these bones. Because the Jewish people were saying, Avda Tikfasenu, our hope is lost. And now they know that I could revive the dead. And this was a sign for all the Jewish people that they also ultimately, even though there's a long exile, will come back to life. Which, as Rashi says, that these bones did not have a right to have Tchias HaMesim, because we said earlier that if someone denies Tchias HaMesim, he does not have a Chelek Olam Haba, as we start off this parak. Rather, it was because of a sign to the Jewish people that those bones were brought up to show that, don't worry, there is an end to this that will come back of Tchias HaMeisim. Rabbi Meir Abba, he says, Eilu b'nei adam she'im b'hem lachuchos shal mitzvah. It refers to the bones that he brought back to life, where the people that didn't have any moisture of a mitzvah. Shneim, like it says, earlier pasuk, it says, Ha'atzamas hayaveshes, the dry bones, Shimu Devar Hashem, listen to the word of Hashem, those are the dry bones that he brought back to life, which are people that don't have any moisture of naskite, any moisture of mitzvahs inside of them. He says, Eilu b'nei adam shechipu es ha'heichel. These bones that he brought back to life, who are dried bones, refers to these people that covered the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, where they would draw these pictures on the walls of the Heichel, kule shkatzim v'ramasim, full of vermin. Shlomo says, the pasuk in Yechezkel says, v'ovei ve'era, I came and I saw, v'hine koltavnis remes behema, and old pictures of vermin and an animal shekets, abomination, v'chol giluli beis Yisrael, and all the filth of the Jewish people, mechuka ala kirsav v'gaymer, that was covered in the walls all around. Uksiv Hasim, it says in the pasuk there later on, says Vavirein Aleim, I went over them, Savav Sav around, meaning on those people where the earlier pasuk said about them that Savav, that they covered the walls of the Heichal with all this vermin, on them Yechezkel passed over them to bring them back alive. Those are the bones that he was Mechayim Mesim. B'yechonam, he says a different interpretation. It says Eilu Mesim Shebebikas Dura. These are the dead that were in the valley of Dura, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, killed them because of their great beauty, as the Gemara continues to explain. V'amar B'yechni says, Minahar Eshel ad Ravas, from the river Eshel until Ravas, which these are different places in this valley of Dura, were Bikas Dura. That's the measurements of this valley of Dura. Now, Shebeshash Higla Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha Es Yisrael, because at the time when Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked king, exiled the Jewish people, Hayu Behen Bachurim, Shayu Meganen Esacham B'yefin, they were young boys that embarrassed the sun with their beauty. Now, Vahayu Kasdiyas Rayas Aysan, now the Babylonian women, Kasdiyim, saw these beautiful boys, Vishayfas Zavais, and they were streaming this ziva from their body because of the great desires that they had by seeing these beautiful boys. Zavis is some type of emanation that comes out of the woman's body. Amru Labalein, so they said to their husbands, what was going on? Ubalein Lamelch, and their husband said to the king, so the king commanded and had these boys killed. Now, Vadain Hayeshev Zavis, but still the women were still streaming with this ziva because of it was still seen the splendor of their form, although the boys were dead, but they still had that beautiful shine to them. So the king commanded and had them trampled. And therefore, then they didn't have that form anymore, which was distorted when they trampled them. And these are the bones, as the Gemara continues to explain, that according to this interpretation, were brought back to life. At the time when Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked one, threw Eschananya, Mishael, Bazar, Lechiv, Shneishi, threw these three big tzaddikim into the fiery furnace, so I'm like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, Leich v'hichya mesim b'bikas dura, go ahead and bring back to life those bones from Bikas Dura, from the Valley of Dura. Now, Kivin Shehichya Eisen, once he brought them back to life, Bo at Samai, so those bones came, V'tavchu lo la'isa rosh alpan, they slapped that wicked king on his face, and then they left. And some say it's actually, from those bones, he actually had utensils made out of it. And when they were brought back to life, they slapped him on his mouth when he tried drinking from them, because they were the cups that he was trying to drink from. So Amar, so Nebuchadnezzar said, Mativin Shalelu, what's going on over here? So Amalei, they said to him, Chavarein Shalelu, the friend of these, meaning they were referring to Yechezkel, who is the friend of Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, who he threw into the fire, saying their friend, Mechayim Mesim Bikas Dura, he brought back to life the bones from Bikas Dura, where Nebuchadnezzar knew that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was bringing these bones back to life. So Pasach Vama, so he opened up and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a Pasuk in Daniel Paragimel, Asahi kamaravarin, how great are his signs. Visimhoyi kamatakifin, and how strong are his wondrous things. Machuse malchus alam, his kingship is a kingship forever. Vishaltane imdar vidar vagaimer, and his ruling is from generation to generation, etc. Now, Amr Yitzchak, he says, Yutzag zahav reiseach, that golden, molten gold should be poured, letech piv shalaisa rush, into the mouth of that wicked person. And since he was talking about the praise of Nebuchadnezzar, so he said a more favorable euphemism of molten gold, but he was in a way cursing him, which is hot gold, which would burn somebody, that should be poured down his mouth. Why? If not for an angel that came and slapped him backhandedly on his mouth, because Leganis, he wanted to disgrace all the song and praise that David HaMelech said in the Sefer Tehillim, because Nebuchadnezzar was organizing such beautiful praise more than David, and had he finished and said it all, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have leaned after his more than all the shiris that David HaMelech said, which would have been catastrophic to the Jewish people and the world. So although he was saying such beautiful things, molten gold should have been poured down his throat. There were six miracles that happened that day when Nebuchadnezzar threw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the fiery furnace. And this happened because they didn't want to bow down to the tzelem, to the idol that he put up, which the rest of the Jewish people did. And the six miracles that happened were Tzafa Kivsha. First of all, the furnace was submerged in the ground, as it is by the furnaces that they burn lime in, and it actually rose to the top over ground. And the reason for that is so that the whole world should see what was going on over there, which was the famous miracle that they did not get burnt in the fiery furnace. That was miracle number one. Miracle number two, the Nifrat Sakivshan, that some of the walls of that furnace collapsed so that people should be able to see inside and see that they weren't getting burnt. Vahumak Saidak, which there's three different girsas. Either the girsas Humak Suray, which the word Suray is like the evil, which is that the gaiva, the haughtiness of Nebuchadnezzar was taken down on that day. Or it's actually the gear says, as we have it, is Humak Saidai, which is that the foundation shook. Or it actually means Humak Sidai, that the lime of the furnace was dissolving because of the great heat, and actually it actually shot far away, and from that heat of that lime is actually one of the other miracles that those ministers who threw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the fiery furnace, that's actually how they got killed. Another miracle is V'nepach Tzelem, that this golden idol fell upon its face. And V'nisrafu Arba Malchis, the four kings and older men who helped Nebuchadnezzar to throw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the fire, they got burnt. And V'hechi Yecheskel Samesim Bikas Dura. And the sixth one was that Yecheskel, as we mentioned before, brought back to life the dead, the bones in Bikas Dura. Now says the Gemara, Bukulu Gemara, and all of these from the six miracles are all tradition. However, V'arba Malchi is Kerah, but one of the miracles, that of the four kings being killed, is written in the Pasuk. So like it says, the Pasuk in Daniel, it says, U'Nebuchadnezzar Malka, and the king Nebuchadnezzar, Shalach Lemichnash, he sent to gather Lachshtar Pranaya, told the governor, Signaya, the nobleman, Upachvasa, and the rulers, Adar Gazaria, which all the rest are all names of idol worshippers, Gedavaria, Disavaraya, Sifsasaya, Vachoshatan Medins, and all the rulers of the countries, Begaim, etc. Siv, it says later on that Isa Gubern Yehudain, that there are Jewish men. Sivana says later on, Umiskanchin, Achshtar Panaya, Sagnaya, Pachvasa, Vahadova, Maralka, and all these ministers, all these people came together. Chazayin Lagavraya, Eilech, Vagaimer, do you see these people, etc., where the Pasuk there continues, says, Dilosh late Nur Begeshman, that you see that the fire is not doing anything to them. Now, but there are certain people that not mentioned in this Pasuk that were mentioned in the previous Pasuk from those kings, because those that were not written are those from the four kings that threw Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into the fire, and they were burnt. And that's one of the miracles. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara teaches an important lesson from this incident. Tan de Beir Belaz ben Yaakov, afilu b'shasa sakan, even at a time of danger, leishana odem es asame min harabanan shelo. A person should not deviate from his dignified leadership type of a position, because Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were wearing beautiful clothing when they were thrown into the fire. And the person should not change. He shouldn't look like he's caught off guard, as if he's afraid and he's all tumultuous. And that actually embarrasses the enemy when they say, it's okay, you can take my body, but you can't take my soul. Shalom, like it says, the passing in Daniel, Beidayin Guvraya Ilech, that regarding these men, Kefisu Besurbalein, that they were cloaked in their cloaks, Pache in their pants, Bekarbalos in their robes, meaning all different types of garments, Begayim, etc., where, and as the Pasuk says, Urmiblugay Atu Nur Yakad, and this, they were being thrown into the fire, the fiery furnace, and they were dressed, they weren't afraid, they were acting in a dignified manner, and no matter where a person finds himself, should always be able to have that calmness, that dignified manner, no matter what's happening, even at a time of danger.